Can you hear it, Kyle? It's the final countdown being played. It's the last day of the month and everyone's excited. We're talking about Asbury selling stores, Tesla cutting deeper, and a TikToker who's blaming, guess who? Are they taking responsibility? No, they're blaming the dealer. We're going to talk about that.
Blaming the dealer. We'll talk about it. We'll try and keep it civil around
here. We have a fun show today. I mean, those stories are going to be fun. Our first one, we got a comment from Alan Haig, and we have a picture of Alan Haig's dogs on the show today.
Aww.
And I get to show you something that you don't even know I have.
Oh, no. I'm already jealous that you... Oh, the scarf.
The scarves came in yesterday for a SotoCon. Look at these.
How's it feel, Paul?
It feels better than last year's even.
Good. I can tell.
Let's just give the shout out right now. We want to thank our friends at Dealer On for being the swag. Let me get this logo up there. For being the swag sponsor this year. I feel like dollar for dollar, this is the best sponsorship at a SotoCon. Because everybody's wearing it around all day.
I
don't take these things off the whole weekend. We're showing it on the show. Remember that next year. If you're looking for one, and the back's got kind of like the SotoCon conversation bubble in it. It looks really great. Yeah, if you don't know, this is our third SotoCon, which means it is our third SotoCon scarf. And
tell them why we do a scarf every year. Oh my gosh. Give it to them.
Kyle, I think I want to hear it from you. Okay, I was going to say, I think you need to tell them. Okay, so I didn't pay any attention to soccer my whole life, ever. And then I met Kyle. And I started paying attention to soccer. And what I paid attention to the most is the absolute fanaticism and community around the sport. I can't wait to go to my first game still. We're going to go.
You can take me to a game in Nashville. Just the energy around we're in this together is unlike almost no other sport.
And it's wrapped up in a garment. Right. And this is a rite of passage because you can have ones that show you're an OG. You can have ones that show you're in the moment and you're a support of the team. It's easy to wear with everything. And so when first the SotoCon came around, there was only one appropriate piece of swag that we knew we had to have. And that was a soccer scarf or a football scarf.
He's got you can tell that
he's got
a
two or three.
Got a couple, two, three.
You probably got a dozen in that shot, easy. And I know you have more around there. I've been in that office.
Way more. Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
And so if you come this year, you will for sure, every attendee / participant gets an SotoCon scarf. And I'll tell you, it's so fun to watch these walking around the whole time. We also got these really sweet More Than Cars pins. We're handing out some of these at
can't wait. Everybody's going to be running in like, give me the swag bag.
We went all out this year, and it's going to be so much fun. If you haven't heard about it or seen about it on LinkedIn, or you probably will, but if you haven't, go to asotocon.com, check out the speakers, the agenda. Kyle, we've been doing panel prep calls for the last 2 weeks, and we take these 50-minute panel prep calls where we get everybody in, and basically, I want you to tell me what your favorite was so far, the one that stands out in your mind. Mine, three Auto Trade Association presidents, plus Mike Stanton, talking about dealers advocating for the voice of the consumer. The name of the session is on day one, Your Voice, Our Fight, How Dealer Associations Are Elevating the Voice of the Consumer, with Pete Kitzmiller, Mike Stanton, Don Hall, Virginia, John Devlin, Pennsylvania. And this is a juxtaposition of how a lot of the world views dealers. And dealers are saying, through all the EV mandating and all this stuff, dealers are like, we're advocating for your voice. In legislation and in actual practice. So that's my favorite one. I can't wait to hear that. How about you?
All right. My favorite one was Pitch Tank. And so we've got two rooms the first day of Pitch Tank. You know, Pitch Tank is close to my heart because I love tech. I love what things people are doing on the software side of the business.
You love telling people what you really feel.
And then I love telling people what I really feel. And I'm on this call. I got Chase Frazier, Steve Greenfield, Amit Chaturanda, we got Bill Karras is coming from Holman Strategic.
Good night. Ventures.
These cats,
this is like the tippy top crust of the A team right here.
Everybody in these two things knows exactly what is up in the SaaS world.
It's not
right
just
now.
The starting lineup, it's like the first five batters.
Exactly. And so if you are wondering what's on the horizon and whether or not you should be paying attention, come listen to these people ask the questions that you would rather ask, because they were already like, can I do this? I'm like, yes,
please do.
You can.
Please do.
Yes, you can ask those questions.
I don't know. We got to see. There's some talks. I won't talk about it yet. I think Pitch Tank needs to come back in a strong way after SotoCon. It's going to be nuts at a SotoCon. But look,
we should figure that out.
We should. If you haven't checked it out, go to asotocon.com, check it out. Look at the speakers. You can still get a ticket. If you're an industry partner and you want to be a part of the event, we still have a few places left. So email or DM us. You can email crew@asotu.com or fill out the form on AsotuCon website. We'd love to include you. I mean, you can't be the swag sponsor. Dealer on crushed that one. But there's a lot of other stuff, too, that we can still put together for you. Let's talk about some news.
Let's get into it. This is a good one.
It is, because we have a picture of dogs at the end of the story. Asbury Automotive News ranked fifth amongst U.S. dealership groups, is looking to sell 10 of their dealerships after a recent divestiture of Koons Lexus in Wilmington. Asbury acquired Koons, and the group just sold Koons Lexus for $102 million, aligning with Lexus franchise limits. So you can only own 8 stores total, so they own that across the country. So they listed 10 stores for sale for a total of $242 million in assets, including the dealerships, real estate, goodwill, et cetera. CEO David Holt said there's a highlighted focus on selective acquisitions and maintaining shareholder value. That's what publicly traded CEOs are supposed to say. Noting a leverage ratio of 2.6 times earnings. The group currently has 157 stores still. And they've done a stock buyback this year, 240,000 shares for $50 million. CEO David Holt said, in the current market, there's certainly a lot of stores on the market from an M&A standpoint, but I think we want to be extremely selective. So we sent a little message to our friend Alan Haig, founder of Haig Partners, today. And we said, hey, what do you think about this? So we got a statement from him this morning while he was actually walking his dogs.
Naturally.
I think now's when we show a picture of the dogs.
Aww,
here you go.
Look at those dogs right
this
there.
This is Lena and Kitty. I don't know which one's the one, but naming a dog Kitty, I think, is just a great play. So it's Lena and Kitty. And while Alan's walking his dogs, he said many retailers that grow through acquisitions end up with smaller stores that were part of the groups they acquired. While the smaller stores can be good for smaller owners, they can be difficult for large groups to manage. So periodically, they will divest some of the smaller stores. He does mention the framework agreements with OEMs that requires them to sell the Lexus store, but he does say they get to pick which of their stores they want to sell. So it wasn't like this was the last one in, first one out. They said they selected this one. And he said they also look at things like areas with low to negative population growth, high costs, et cetera. He said divesting stores doesn't mean they are declining in any way. It means reallocating capital to better uses.
Yeah, you can tell they're lining up some capital, right? They're repurchasing some shares for $50 million. So they're like moving around money to position for something.
Yes.
That's what's on my mind is like, hey, we're divesting 10 stores. We bought back some shares so that we're not beholden to some shareholders. We've got some different, like there's some money movement happening around intentionally, in my opinion, to make a big move. That's what I would look out for, is for Asbury to make a big move here. Coming up in the next couple quarters.
Yep, and Haig Partners is going to have some representation on the stage, main stage at AsotuCon. We're having a big M&A panel talking to three major firms. Going to have a great conversation around valuations and legacy and when's the right time to sell. So if you're kind of like curious about the M&A world, but you don't want to raise your hand because that can get tricky, you can come listen to people talk about it and ask your questions anonymously via the app. Just saying. Speaking of the app. Stop.
Segway.
Tesla's got a great app, by the way.
They really do.
It's really good. Nice. But Tesla is continuing its aggressive cost-cutting strategy, announcing further layoffs that affect senior executives. And get this, they are laying off the entire 100% of the team working on the supercharger.
Gone.
Obviously, this comes amidst a lot of other broader tech layoffs and a pretty big earnings shortfall that was just reported in their last quarterly statement. Tesla's laid off more than 10% of its workforce, including these high-profile executives. We're approaching now 20% of the company being laid off. The elimination That's of the entire supercharging team led by Rebecca Tannucci signals a potential pivot in their approach to charging infrastructure. I mean, you think about it, Kyle, this is the person that got like the NACS adopted across all OEMs. They're like, great, thanks, see you, bye.
Thanks, bye. Yeah.
Alongside the layoffs, they see departures of some key personnel like Drew Baglino, VP of Powertrain and Energy Engineering. And you know, like these, they're trying to talk about doing a shareholder payout that's apparently pretty sizable. So it's, they got layoffs, they got shareholder payouts impending. Elon Musk said there has to be a stringent review of all executive performance, stating, quote, executives whose subordinates don't obviously pass the excellent, necessary, and trustworthy test will find themselves relieved of duty. Since the announcement, wow, shares are up 15%, still down 36% year over year.
Well, okay, first of all, down 36%, oh, up 15 for the year. Since what? It was a little...
up 15 since this week.
Since last week, I think, yeah, it was, or earlier this week.
Yep.
Like, you know, you've told me this, and I haven't read the book, but the strategy for Elon is like there's resetting buttons always and forever. And hey, that the quote of like, are your people good? Yep. Have you gotten them good?
Yep.
If not, are you the right person to be in leadership? That's a question that every single company should be asking. Are my leaders making the people better? And are they getting their people to the right place so that we can be successful? And if they're not, find new leadership.
Man,
it's, you know, it's like people will yell and shout at large layoffs, but I think a lot of these companies, it's just a part of the rhythm of the company. And for me, it's like, hey, look, got a whole bunch of people that probably know their way around auto. So No reason why you can't go find those people and bring them into the fold.
Yeah, without a doubt. They even said that one guy who had at one point slept in his car so he could work more hours was also laid off. With Elon Musk, it's very like the decisions are very binary. It's not like, right, oh, you did this. I mean, if you ever have a doubt, like, is Elon Musk a car guy? He's like, oh, that was great last month. This month, you're gone. It's old school.
Oh, he's so a car guy. It's he so is old the car school. Guy of car guys.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, he's got a history of hitting the reset button and being able to bring things around. It's tough to bet against Elon Musk, as erratic as it can be sometimes, but that's what's going on. Speaking of erratic as it can be sometimes.
That is what I was going
to
say.
Time to talk about TikTok.
A TikTok personality named Blazy Arnold recently faced the harsh reality of auto loans when she decided to part ways with her Chevy Tahoe due to overwhelming interest payments totaling, in her terms, $50,000. Arnold, her original loan was for an $84,000 Tahoe.
Which is fully loaded.
Fully loaded Tahoe. Came with a 10.2% APR from GM Financial. Great captive bank, right? She had no down payment, negative equity from a traded in vehicle, and her payments were around $1,400 a month. And the way she felt was that it was barely making a dent in the principal amount.
And she's
what
right.
You're going to need to do is you're going to need to click on the link in the story, right? I know that a lot of people say this all the time, but you need to go.
It's worth your time.
It's worth your time to understand, like, not just her video, but the comments on the article, the comments in the TikTok thread, on the way the perception of the auto industry becomes the reality. Now, there's some sly comments about her interaction. There's some sly comments about the way that dealers treat people. But when you look at the overwhelming majority of culture, you see this misunderstanding of the industry, of interest rates.
What did she say? Tell us what she said. What did she say?
She said, and then she said this, I did not go with my husband, and as a female, I feel they took advantage of me. They knew I really wanted the car and I was by myself. Like, That's the feeling. That's the perception.
AKA the dealer ripped me off.
Right.
To set the record straight, that is not a ripoff interest rate in this day and age for a car that expensive with negative equity. No. And we don't know what the credit score is. And also, you go on in the video and you realize this, she also did a similar thing buying her husband a truck with a $1,600 a month payment with probably a higher interest rate. And so, you know, this is, again, like you said, Kyle, this is how the auto industry gets a bad perception in culture, yep, right? It's just this victim mentality of like, they took advantage of me, but actually you just made a really bad decision.
Yeah.
Right. If you're not happy with the decision,
it underscores the requirement for education along the purchase process.
Yeah. I mean, right? I won't even say it's a bad decision, right? Everybody makes decisions for different reasons. Once I my first job at a dealership, I was like 22, never bought a car from a dealership, never leased a car. Right. And I said something dumb, like kind of like, I just didn't know. right? It was kind of arrogant. And I said to you, I was like, why would anyone ever buy a new car? A used car is so much of a better value, right? And he like very kindly explained to me the essence of value, right? And why someone would want to pay, even though financially you pay more and depreciates faster, but like the value that it brings to be in a new car. And it just literally is the very beginning. It was probably like week two of my career in automotive. And it's
just simple education and understanding, right? It's the same reason why so many people are afraid of leases, but depending on the person, the driving habits, the desire for new cars, like leases actually make a whole bunch of sense.
Understanding that, right? A car is a depreciating asset and having equity in a depreciating asset, actually, if you ask an investment advisor, isn't a good idea.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I know. It was fun. It was fun to bring that out. Like, I was, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's being said. Oh, that's amazing.
It's interesting enough. Click on the link in the show notes, and it's an awareness of broad culture and its reaction.
It's one of the reasons we do what we do, and we want to keep doing more of it through the More Than Cars docuseries. We do want to cross the consumer divide with our content when the time is right, but first we need, you know, more people in the industry to know about it.
There you go.
Which is why we have live events called a SodaCon in 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, it starts. Come get a scarf, get swag, make relationships, and learn things you will never forget, and will make you, your life, and your business so much better.